Cheese Cafe. We have Tara Vruvis, or she and her husband Mike are the owners of this restaurant. How long have you been open now?
We opened on March 20th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's just a short time that you started here as well.
Yep.
Are you from the Grafton area? Or
We live in Litchfield. We used to live in Carlisle. That's how we started spending time in Grafton.
Okay.
But a few years ago, we moved to Litchfield. But my kids go to Midview. They're in open enrollment here. So
All right. We're
in town all the time.
So what made you want to get into this restaurant business?
Well, what we wanted to was to have our own business, and we decided on restaurant because food is something I can get passionate about. I like to source certain ingredients and things at home. The way I cook at home is I follow a lot of food blogs. I'm, I guess, what would be called a clean eater. So sourcing ingredients and recipes are something that I get excited about. So that's how we decided to do a restaurant.
And those are the things that you put on your menu?
It's exactly what's on the menu. I'm literally feeding Grafton the way I feed my home.
What are some of the things that you do have on the menu?
Pancakes. I mean, it's really, I guess I would call it normal food. You know, biscuits and gravy, omelets, eggs, salads, good sandwiches, good burgers, fresh fries, just good breakfast and lunch.
What's a, you said clean,
mm-hmm.
clean what again?
Clean eating.
What is that?
That's, you know, eating without a lot of additives, preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, just trying to avoid eating chemicals or synthetic foods, like, and just eating real food. So instead of cooking with cheap oil, we just use butter. Finding applesauce that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. Finding sausage gravy that we just make from scratch. I get the meat from Keller because he'll do meat with no MSG. He'll do sausage with no nitrates and nitrites added. And those are just preservatives that really aren't food. They're just made to make it last longer, and you don't need them if you're going to cook it fast.
So that food, when it comes in here, is coming in extremely fresh. It's not been somewhere for weeks.
Right. No, everything I source is literally almost all the same places where I buy groceries. I normally shop at farm markets, but De Simon's Market on Route 18, they sell Hartzler's milk. It's a dairy in Worcester, and they sell a very low-heat pasteurized, non-homogenized milk. It's a very healthy milk. That's the milk I use in the restaurant when I make the gravy.
Okay.
You know, I use local sources as much as I can because it's literally the same food I eat at home.
They're the ones with the awesome chocolate milk.
Oh, my gosh. The chocolate milk is incredible. And in season, you need to try their eggnog. Their eggnog is – people either love or hate eggnog, but if you like eggnog, once you've had Hartzler's eggnog, you will not have other eggnog. It is so good.
Their chocolate milk is like a milkshake in a glass.
It
just
is.
By drinking their chocolate milk as well. And by the way, that clean eating, Craig, the second time this week, there must be something. I went to a wellness seminar for our workplace,
mm-hmm.
and they talked all about the clean eating.
Yep.
And sort of like, you know, close to the ground, they also mentioned things like that.
There's definitely a flip side to that. I think there's definitely a clientele for that because there are customers that come in here and order a Diet Coke. And that's not clean eating, and it's not something that's on my menu. So I think that there's maybe a certain clientele that isn't as interested in clean eating, but I'm definitely finding there's a lot of people coming that are, and they're excited to have a dining option that offers food and beverage that way. So it's definitely, I think, more of a niche type thing, a little bit like that. But I think sometimes it just appeals to logic, too. You know, even people that maybe aren't normally clean eatings, and when they eat at other diners, they don't think about that. When they find out what we're serving here, they're impressed and they're grateful for it, even if it wasn't something they were seeking out. They still like it.
Well, ultimately, you know, it's what the food tastes like. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what keeps bringing people back. What
right.
are some of the favorites that you have on the menu?
Well, one of the things we started was doing dinners on Friday evenings. That was one of the things when we opened the restaurant. We were a breakfast and lunch cafe. And immediately people started asking us to stay open for dinner. So we added dinner on Friday nights, and one of the most popular things we did was chicken paprikash. And the chicken paprikash has been a big hit, and every single week I've run out in 4 weeks that we've done it. So I keep having to increase how much paprikash I make because people love it and they're ordering it to go, and I'm running out and I'm running back to the kitchen to help the cooks make more paprikash because it's selling really fast. But I think the build your own option is probably one of the most popular things, because aside from, I think, the ingredients and the type of food we serve, we also don't spell out what is on the menu. You tell us.
Talk about that. I see the little kind of half-size clipboards mm-hmm. that have sort of a checkbox for different items. How does that work?
Right. So instead of like when you go to a restaurant and you see their breakfast menu, it'll tell you get two eggs, meat, this, that, and the next thing. We just basically have you tell us what's going on that plate rather than us tell you what's on the plate and then you try to, you know, maybe say you want something else. Instead of, I guess, for example, like we don't say we have a Western omelet. And then you say, well, I don't like onions, and can I get pepper jack cheese instead? We just tell you what cheeses we have, what vegetables we have, and you tell us what to put in your omelet. You customize your own dish on everything from breakfast to sandwiches to salads. You design it.
And even sometimes, when you order a burger, it might come with this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it. You put it, you take it off, you put it on the side. That's a waste. That's a waste for your business as well.
Right. So everything can be completely customized. And it's funny sometimes, like I never even realized how creative some people would get when they would make their plates. But I brought a lady a sandwich, a breakfast sandwich that she made that was made out of French toast with a sausage patty in the middle and a fried egg in it. And it looked so good. So people are making really creative things. Or like when kids get to build their own, you'll see like a bologna sandwich with Parmesan, which I mean, you wouldn't even think to put it together. And they love it because they're making their own thing.
Well, I'm thinking as a parent, I sometimes will say to my daughter who takes something that she ordered and starts like dissecting it, I'm thinking now I would say, you ordered that. You're the one that made it. Maybe they have ownership to it. They have a little bit chance to, that they'll eat the whole thing.
Right.
Where did the name Czech Police Cafe come from? I know when you come up with a restaurant, you probably think, now we have to come up with a name.
Right.
And you're going through all the ideas that it could possibly be.
Right. It was actually our second choice idea. We originally wanted to call it Rise and Dine because I like the kind of pun type thing. Turns out there's actually a restaurant called that in Chesterland, Ohio. So we went to Plan B. But once we started really exploring the option of check boxes and customizing things and how the menu would look where you would be checking boxes, we thought we'd play on the word with the check, so that's why we called it Check Please, you know, kind of like something you would say in a restaurant and you're checking boxes, so it kind of had dual purpose for us. So that's how we decided it would be Check Please.
It wasn't like Scrabble where you got all these giant letters and you sat down and arranged them until it spelled something.
No, right? No.
Where do you find it? Where do you find 12-inch letters, size letters like that?
Hobby Lobby.
Oh, okay. You know, now that I think about it, that's probably also where you got that 5-foot rooster.
No, the rooster came from Tractor Supply. Oh. On recommendation from Bob and Terry, who eat at our restaurant probably 2 to 3 times a week, one of our they're very regular customers since we've opened, very sweet people. And Terry went to Tractor Supply, took a picture of that rooster, and had to show it to me. And I said, oh, yes, I need that.
It's like you started with the weather vanes and the smaller chickens. And in my home, I do have my wife starts collecting some of those things, so I always have an eye out for some of that. But that's a big sturdy one. And he holds up well outside too as well.
He's like the biggest yard ornament you've ever seen.
Though as I'm talking to you, all of a sudden he is bobbing and moving, and I'm confused as if someone's doing that or is that the wind?
No, he's a yard ornament. Like he like will like rock. Okay. And his wings move.
Greg,
too.
He just started, he just started moving.
Yeah.
And then for a moment there I kind of got thrown because I'm thinking, is he coming in now? Did I say something wrong?
I know the servers keep thinking they're about to have a customer walk through the door and it's this chicken.
There you go. It's another way to keep them on their toes.
Yep.
Because, you know, you always have to wait. And I suppose with any restaurant, you just have to wait for people to come through the doors. What was it like the first time you opened and you sort of thought, okay, we've got the food, tables are set, everything's ready. Yeah. Somebody comes here.
Honestly, people were waiting for us to open. I didn't do anything as far as like a grand opening. Like people would stop in while we were in here painting and setting furniture and getting the kitchen. And at least 5, maybe 10 people a day would stop in. When are you guys going to open? When are you opening? So there was so much anticipation that it wasn't anything I announced. It was just one day, March 20th. Actually, it was the Sunday before. Technically, I just unlocked the doors and people just came in. And then when people saw cars, more people came. And for the first like week and a half, we were just, honestly, I was overwhelmed just by how many people were there and just making sure that we had all the processes right to be able to take care of them all. I think Grafton really wanted to have another dining option. So it's been really fun. And I feel like we're very welcome in the area. And people have been really excited that there's a restaurant here again.
Tell me about this Himalayan sea salt, or Terry Howell was here having breakfast and he brought it over. It's kind of a beige-looking salt.
It's pink. Pink. It's pink, yeah. So sea salt is just a healthier salt option, and there's different grades of sea salt because there's regular white sea salt, and then you can get Celtic gray sea salt, which also has some different minerals in it. But Himalayan pink salt is, in certain blogs, I think considered like the really best salt because of the trace minerals that are in it, and it isn't highly refined and it isn't bleached like normal table salt is. So there's a lot of health benefits to using that salt, so you don't have to feel guilty.
Do they make dispensers that adequately allow you to spritz it as well?
Oh, yeah, you just put in a regular salt shaker. You can buy it. That's like, extra fine grind Himalayan pink salt. It's delicious.
Well, you shall have to try some.
You should. Put it on some eggs.
Well, Tara, we appreciate you hosting us here as we have our spotlight on Grafton. Tara Veruvis and her husband Mike here at the main street of the Check Please Cafe right near the railroad track.
Yep.
Is there a lot of train traffic on those trains?
There is, they go really slow, so you can get a good look and the conductor will wave at you. This must be like a switching track, so when they come by, it's always very short, like never more than five cars, and they go really slow across this track. So it's fun.
Sounds great.
I hope it doesn't happen while you're on the air.
We hope it does.
Come on. We broadcast from Vermilion, where they've got the, of course, they stop blowing their horns in that area as well, but we enjoy our days out here. We've second day of our spotlight. We're going to talk with the folks from the schools coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, as well as what's happening with the Raymond at Rural Electric and the Always Best Care, some of the other businesses here in the Grafton area. Spotlight on Grafton.